Hallelujah, Jesus. Go on, right? Raise them up about half mast. He, as we've said before so many times, he loves to hear individually from you. In fact, that's what eternity will be made out of, is your fellowship with him, not a crowd's. Yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can kind of put them down for a minute. I'm so glad I'm here and with the mission and know what God wants. I'm so glad. But the Lord showed me something. I didn't understand it fully. I thought I did. It was a dream, but I was subconscious of the dream. I was kind of awake too. And I seen myself, and it was highly exaggerated. And some of you know I've told it before, but I never understood this much about it. It's highly exaggerated. I was on the King's Highway going down the highway to get my reward. And here's where the funny part comes. There's a crowd along the road. I had to have angels for crowd control. See how he exaggerated it? And I finally seen the steps that went up to the throne. And I started up the steps and I could see God, but it was just an outline of light and glory. And the Lamb was there. So I'm walking up there and I'm standing. And all of a sudden this hand, little bitty hand, slips into mine. And I look over and it's some little girls who look 6 or 7 years old. Somehow she got through the crowd control and the angels. Have a feeling they let her come. She says, "Hi, mister." She says, "I'm a child of abortion, famine, and war." She said, "I grew up here." She says, "The Lamb loves us." She says, "Oh God, He loves us." She says, "You know what? I'd do anything to have your opportunity to trade places with you. Anything, just to go back. Just to be able to do something. Just to do something for the Lamb. I'd gladly take your place. Gladly." Well, do we know that? I'm starting to become really happy that I'm here. And I do have an opportunity to do something for Him. I mean, after being in heaven and would do anything, just to do something for Him. And here we are with all of this opportunity. Bring it on. Hallelujah. So the depth of that started sinking in. I'm thinking, what kind of opportunity do we have? And we get born again, He leaves us here. And while we're here, we have the privilege of receiving His power, His presence, an abiding presence of His power, and run around in a lost world and do something for Him. this is the shortest part of your eternity. It'll probably be the most you could ever do. Hallelujah. So now, let those palms float up about even with your ears. He just loves to hear from you. In case you don't know this, he can single you out as an individual and just listen to you. In fact, he does.
Well, how can he do that? All the people in the world worshiping at the same time.
That's why he's God and you're not. Come on. What? What could he possibly want from you? You? Hallelujah. You know how long forever is? He wants you. And you say, well, he don't have time for me. That's all he's got. Yes, he does. Father, we worship and glorify you and praise you. Give you all the glory and want to thank you with all our heart. How can we say thanks for giving us revival here in Tulsa? How can we say thanks? Hallelujah. We're so glad, rejoicing, jumping up and down, screaming and waving stuff because we're having revival here.
I don't see it.
You're looking with the wrong eyes right now. He got it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Peace resounded through my spirit for a minute, and I don't think I've ever quite had a resounding like that of how it is and can be and should be. For when times get worse and your faith is tried, remember this, that my peace, my power, and my standing that I have given you is enough. That you'll see the things I can do, and you'll see the things the devil will try to stop. But you've already won. So rejoice in such and be exceedingly glad and worship like like you're rejoicing something that needs to be done like it's already been done. Okay. Okay. You think that I can't come into partnership with you and finish putting that business together that you're trying to get started, what you're saying will be, how do I say that, which will be completely involved with the kingdom of God. I can do that. I can put that together. Can you do what I said? Everyone like that? Woo! Eskidum, Thomas Kula Abo, Vrando Eskidabo Haraki said, Ni insto Kalapo Keskia Asomati. I seen you come up. I didn't see you. I just saw you come up. I didn't see you though. You is you. That's up to you. Whoever you are, if you want to come up, he's doing this whole service. Yes, sir. Come on, devil. He thinks he can stop this. He can't. He can't. He would like to, but he can't. People, preachers, launch out all the time. And they go and they try, and some of them fail miserably, run out of meetings, beg for them, come back home. What do you think? What do you think entering into business is like? A lot of preachers don't win the first time. Got to be tougher than a bag of nails. And see, this is a call of His too. This is a helps government's call. I'm not afraid anymore. If I wasn't called to be a mouth, I get to stand in Japan and deliver the word. Stand in Brazil. Stood in a lot of nations. I'm the mouth. But I'd be just as excited if I was the helps that was footing the bill for the mouth. I stand there with Him in that day just as rewarded as He is. And that's helps in governments. It's wonderful. For hear these instructions. When you magnify my word in my presence, for I am not a man that I can lie. You're magnifying what I said. And what I said I would do, that will I do. But for you that enter into the worship and begin to worship me and fellowship and glorify and praise and hold me up, don't you know that you're releasing me to hold you up? When you worship me around a verse, hour after hour, what you're doing is amplifying by resting in the Spirit over my promise. That's funny, I'm the one that wanted to preach this morning. For you might as well know in this area there's a shortage. There's a shortage of those who can survive the power that's in money. For that power that's in money is offering them to be anything, anywhere that they want to be. So many don't survive. But I'll say this to you. In these last days, there'll be those who'll enter into the mortification process. And oh, they'll come forward. They'll come forward. You'll see. And you're saying to yourself, how can this be? This can be because my foundation has been built on and compounded on through the centuries in past. And now that travel and knowledge has increased, it's on every hand. things is coming into place for a worldwide revival manifested. You think I can't go in where my word is going in? I can go in where my word is going in. And any outpost that receives everything I am through teachings that have been brought in through the areas of communication, that I'll still come and honor my word, because truth is truth, and you'll see there'll be revivals of this sort breaking out in the homes of many, many nations. So be strong and know that I am moving. I had no idea you was going to do this. That's why you was able to do it. In Jesus' name, make it so. All you really need to do to have money is die. Can you fight the giant? Can you? Wave your hand. $200 big diesels do exactly what you want. Come on. Can you handle it? Listen, entrepreneurs, you know, after you write that big fat check of, you know, $100 million, Then let them go. You're not the boss over their ministry. Let them go. Hallelujah, Jesus. So when you put that first million, that's what you did. And that's what he does. So he won't tell you how to make the money. You got my point? Now I know why he said that and took the service. A lot of time I have my scriptures already. I just work here, I guess. Guess I'm asking. For things are just like something run out ahead and knew what to adjust and knew what to move, because when you got there, it'd be changed so this would work. Don't let the devil tell you you're too old. If I was 98 and he told me to go make $1 million and give it away, I'd go. I'd probably ski first and a few things like that, but I'd go. Okay, it'll come to pass. When we run into a wall and hell is quoting everything, that's the time. Pull yourself together and learn how to worship. Be glad and magnify Him and exalt Him out of heaven over what He promised. Come on, says Jay. We have time. You know this guy, people, preachers, thinks they have dreams of taking their place with Paul. So much he learned through the teacher. He didn't have a New Testament in his lap. He learned so much from the teacher of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that taught how he teaches you. There's a lot of us preachers dream of taking our place with Paul, you know. Who did they ask anything? the Gentile that married 6 wives and got born again with 20 children? Which one does he stay with, Paul? Somebody had to straighten things out. Most preachers kind of have that dream. God, I want to be like you. Do you? Can you survive 5 39 lashings? That when Jesus took the one, could you survive 5? How about walking around after the bones in your feet have been broken 3 times in stocks? Did you do okay? How about in perils of robbers and thieves, stoned and left for dead?
Well, no, I just want the power he walked in.
Hallelujah. In the futures to come, you'll continue to be equipped beyond what you are now. You'll be equipped as my spirit is poured out via Soklan Dekesia. For I'll teach you along the way that what it is in you, my presence, how you come before me and the time you spend, how these things will change your foundation and cause you to grow from those roots most never reap from. And I've got plans for you. For the door is open, for the necessary things have been administered to receive revelation knowledge from myself. You think I'll hold back, saith the Lord? Diamai. Chokorale. Bokoeskra otin eleko. For receiving on this level of my spirit, Tulsa's in revival, Jesus is Lord in Tulsa, that there's things that need to be learned and need to be walked in. For that throughout history, these places had been attained and taken back away. And the place the devil trembled most over was the place where my love was able to live there for a period of time and amplify. Then he would have to track down the remnants of them and destroy them one by one. But that won't be so with this revival. You'll see different things that will begin to happen. For the media has changed. Knowledge has increased with travel. Take advantage of it. For you can spread as enough truth as the devil can spread disaster. So be strong and move forward. You're in a place to win. Okay, let's take our text and... why don't you open up to 2 Corinthians 12. I just want to jump down to his thorn. Paul's thorn. About the 7th verse. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of my revelations. Now why did this thing come? Sower sowed the word. And Satan came immediately to steal it. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord three times. Would you make it depart from me? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. That standing I gave you, you know, that you couldn't earn, didn't merit, didn't deserve. But that standing I gave you, it's my standing. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength it's made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I'm strong. Isn't that funny? He says, I take pleasure in distresses and perplexities. Well, he'd be a sadist if he took pleasure in the distresses and the diseases and the beatings, and he'd be a sadist.
Well, I like being beat.
He'd go look for people to beat him, whether they searched him down or not. Who he was taking pleasure in the presence of was God, despite these things. Despite. Now, he described what they did to him and what he had been through. When they beat him with rods, they put your feet in stocks and they broke all the bones in them. Let's see if you can walk to the next town now. When they stoned him for dead, so it had to have been dead or they wouldn't have stopped. But he got up from that. Five times he reaped 40 lashes, save one, which was law. Five times. Three times he broke all the bones in his feet, and a day and a night he treaded water and hung on to boards because his ship sank. And he talked to God in the beginnings and the progress through, and three different times he said, can you take this? He said, if you're talking about my grace, I'm telling you right now, it's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Meaning the standing I give you, it's sufficient. So he asked him again, would you please get this thing off of me? My grace is sufficient. The third time, please, my grace is sufficient. He finally caught on. He said, I will rather therefore then glorify you in the middle of my distresses and perplexities and necessities, because when these things drive me back to, I'm the weakest, can't depend on the flesh, can't depend on anything, that I can take pleasure in your presence and worship and glorify you. You know what he did? He began to exalt that grace, that standing, that fellowship he had with his Father. And you can bet one thing, Paul was called to some of the most murderous places you can. Heathenism, and the beatings he took, everything, just to go in there and bring the truth to him. He knew what he was going to get handed. What I love the most about Paul, you think that they martyred him? You think they put him to death? He didn't know. When they come and finally took him, he said, I'm ready to be offered. I fought the good fight and I've kept the faith. Can we say that? They didn't put him to death until he was ready. He said, at the weakest point, I can be tied up, beat up, left for dead. And I know his grace is sufficient. So he turned and took pleasure in the presence of God. Boy, have I discovered something. I mean, I knew these things. But it wasn't until I broke into the private worship, and we only call it that because you'll do it anyway, whether anybody's with you or not. In Jesus' name. Private worship. I'm not going to stay on this very long. I'd have to buy a new clock if I did. When I was coming back from that passion play, Oklahoma City, on the way back, I said, is there any way to bring a presence into a play like that? He said, if you'd go back and worship me all night, you'd find out. Did I? No. It was a year later. But I didn't know there was a resistance of private worship until I ran into it. I don't like to tell you how many hours I spent with real dry worship. Dry.
I love you.
It spatulaed on the floor like a hot cake. I had a spatula and I was trying to throw words up to heaven. Nah, I love you. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I worship you and praise you and love you. I hit real dry seasons, and when I'm teaching, I have to tell you how much for a season. A lot of people ask, "How are you paying things?" Well, my goal was 4 to 6 hours. I can't tell you after a little while how dry it got. Right at first it was okay, then it got dry. Real dry. I started looking for books on worship to find out what happened. They all said the same thing. You're not getting through. So I went back, and thank God, because he was the one that indicated that I needed to. You know, he told me already what would happen if you did. So even though the book said that, you know, you're not getting through, I stayed in, and there wasn't anything I could do to make it change in the natural. It seemed like, hallelujah, say it faster and slower. Nothing. Well, then I slipped into one of the many visions, like when the little girl took my hand. Only this time I saw it looked to be angels in heaven, and they had a TV and they were watching it, and it was me. There was just a few of them there, but they were watching me on TV.
Well, I love you.
They said, look at that.
I love you.
God, look at that.
I love you. Hallelujah.
But then I seen time go by, and I broke through. I didn't know that it was so important to stop, that devils would gather, anything would happen. They got to stop you. It turns you loose to free. It's the extra implication of the word you were standing on. You sat there and worship him for a few hours because he did it. They didn't want to find out anything about that. Nothing. So I got to hear what some of them said. The preachers told me, you're not getting through to it. You're not. They started talking and saying, look. Hell was gathered there to pull his arms down and make him quit. Look at him. He would not quit. He kept holding his arms up and wouldn't quit. And that's a You know, it's hypothetically speaking. I wasn't exercising my muscles, but in the spirit, my hands were up. They said, look, the usual spot that stops them until they minimize it as just a little thing in the operation of the spirit, little thing. They said, look, he held him up when all hell was stomping on it, trying to get him to stop before he discovered anything. Too late. At the end of that season, which is what it was, I don't know enough. I didn't know enough for him to go on. But in the short season, I was in there. It didn't matter whether you understood me or not, whether I was in Brazil or not, whether I speak Portuguese. I lost the whole crowd to sobbing and crying. Then I had a line, and they started falling down and lost them from crying. Then the interpreter fell down and bawled and lost him. I said, what is this? It was just a tangible presence of the love and compassion. Jesus was moved by it. And he healed all of them. You can't look at them through the fullness of his eyes with that love and leave them there. Well, I came back and that anointing kind of lifted. And I had seasons of putting myself away in fastings and prayer and stuff because my foundation needed to be more intact even and had to have some different things added to it to support what was coming. And now, you remember last week? What's it going to do when I drop it? Well, I won't use drop it when I turn loose of it. I'm so sure it's going to fall, I said, when I drop it. What if it floated off? Would you be shocked? You'd say, let me see that, and you did, and it would be made out of just leather. No green stuff in there. Just low lettuce, just leather. So what's it going to do? Tell me how sure you are. What's the law of the Spirit? Huh? What did he say? What's it going to do? I'm going to have to test this. I don't quite believe it. But they sound funny when they're empty, don't they? Again, like the three times before, I could have made a mistake. What's it going to do? You sure? For 1 minute, which I've told you 13 times, when I stepped over on that love behind that door, which hell made bets on that I wouldn't get there. I knew as sure as I went to that children's hospital that it would be emptied, as I knew that wallet was going to fall. I knew. Well, back to worship. The devil's been down this road before. When that bunch got on my arms and was trying to pull them down the hill, that's the way they described it. And they said, he won't do it, so. Look, he won't do it. The angels was watching. They said, won't do it. He was encouraging me. I made them breakthrough. He said, I'd like to be like Paul. Would you? What would you do during the testings and trials? Would you take pleasure in His presence and worship Him and glorify Him because you have His grace? You do that, eventually He's going to switch you off of the natural avenue out of that until the spiritual avenue. That's why His grace is sufficient. You're going to walk out. You're not going home before your time. You need to add private worship. You're speaking the word that I know I'm healed. Glory to God. I not only know I'm healed, but I got pain. I said, I not only know I'm healed, but I'm willing to worship Him for an hour and glorifying Him for an eternity.